It's a pretty big game for the Cincinnati Bengals coming up in week 12 against the Titans, and Ja'Marr Chase, officially questionable. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We're coming to you on Black Friday with some late injury updates for Ja'Marr Chase as we get ready for the Bengals matchup against the Tennessee Titans. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network here on Locked On Bengals, bringing you coverage of your team every day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts. And hey, if you're new to the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit the follow button, hit the thumbs up on YouTube, and join the First Listen Club. I know there's a lot of people out there and always enjoy the tweets, right? When we hear about the first listens and got some nice Thanksgiving gratitude. So if you express gratitude to me, I know I did it on Twitter. I'll just do it again here in the spirit of the holiday. We are, of course, very thankful for all of you who listen to the Locked On Bengals podcast. You make what we do possible. We would not be here without all of you listening to us. And we also wouldn't be here without the Cincinnati Bengals. And, well, Ja'Marr Chase, part of that team, and got through a few limited practices this week, James. And the Bengals continue to play this one close to the vest.
They do. That they do. As I, one, had a laughing attack at the start of the show, so go to YouTube if you're listening and check that one out. It's pretty funny. I might tweet out the clip that led to that.
Wait, what happened?
Which was a blooper at the beginning.
Okay.
I thought for sure you were going to stop it, and you made it all the way through. So, one, Jake's a true pro, clearly. two, let's dive into this Ja'Marr Chase, because, look, he looks good to me. I mean, if I had to bet, I'd say he's playing. Just eye test. Everything he's done, literally walking out to the practice field on Wednesday, what did he do? He jogs up the hill, and I'm like, oh, full extension? Checked, looked at the video. Yeah, he's extending that hip a little bit. We didn't see him go full speed. I think that was by design. But I think Joe Burrow, we expect him to play. You combine that with the eye test. You combine that with all of the things, and even though Zach Taylor on Friday afternoon, pre-us recording this, this is why our Friday episode is later. So we actually had a real Ja'Marr Chase update with everything dark on Thanksgiving. There was no media availability at Paycor Stadium. It looks like he's on track to play. Now, Zach Taylor did say, we'll see pregame. But then I asked him, okay, so is it based on a pregame workout? And he said, no. So the decision has been made. They just don't want to tell us the decision. I'll say this, Ja'Marr Chase walked through the locker room, did not talk to the media on Friday, but walked through the locker room, seemed fine to me. Looked like the Ja'Marr that I'm used to seeing. So if I had to wager, you know, the Bet Online official Locked On Bengals wager, does Ja'Marr Chase suit up in Nashville at Nissan Stadium on Sunday? Well, I would hammer the yes.
What are the odds? Are you getting odds on the yes, or are you giving odds on the
I think they've shifted drastically. Like if you would have asked me, hey, is he playing a week ago? Is he playing against the Titans? I would have said there's a shot, but probably not. But and I'll add this. So I think it would be like plus 1,000 no, and like minus a couple hundred yet. Like, because I just think I think he's going to play. Now that's my odds, and I already told you that's what I think. But the other thing is on Monday we asked Zach. Or Zach, I think, just volunteered this, that everything was going according to plan. We'll see how things go this week. And so I followed up on Friday, and I said, okay, well, you said that Monday. Friday, is it safe to say that everything is still going according to plan? And he said yes, without hesitation. So they didn't put him on injured reserve for a reason, Jake. It was to potentially get him back now. And it feels like they're going to get him back now. Now, watch me be wrong. Watch him be inactive on Sunday. They decide to wait another week. And, you know, everyone can boo me in the YouTube comments. And you can crush me on Locked On Bengals. But I do think he's going to play, if I had to guess.
I mean, I tweeted earlier this week, I think after Joe Burrow's comments and after he went out there to test it at practice, at that point, And I think we talked about this. At that point, it's probably a pain tolerance thing, a fitness thing, are you limited athletically thing, and not a bone health thing, because you're not out there testing it if it's a bone health thing. You're not out there testing it if there's a risk to your career, right? There's no way that the Bengals let Ja'Marr Chase go out there and even practice, get off crutches in the first place, if there's a long-term risk to Ja'Marr Chase. So to me, that means it's a comfort thing. It's a how's he moving thing. And I think they've probably seen enough. I think they're just playing it coy. They're getting a little bit of potentially a competitive edge out of this, keeping the Titans on the edge of their seat. But from a medical perspective, from a Joe Burrow comments perspective, from a Zach Taylor comments perspective, from a looking at the trajectory of this thing perspective, as you talked about, the plan was always keep him off IR because he might get back. And if that's the plan and things are still going according to plan, well, that means he's probably going to get back. So we could all be wrong about this. We could all be misreading this situation. Zach Taylor said it was a good week for him. And so that all seems good to me.
Yeah, it's good. Things pointing in the right direction. And I do want to mention that Zach also said open to a snap count. It's not like it's, hey, we're going to bring him back and he's going to be able to play all 72 snaps like he normally does. And he's usually out there for 90%+ of the snaps, right? Mm-hmm. He's used to that type of workload. They could bring him back and he play 34% or, 34 snaps, not 34, 34 snaps or whatever the case is. And that would be the question. Fitness, going back to our conversation earlier this week. So if that isn't a holdup and it's not bone health and we know he's tough as hell, well, it all points to him playing. So we'll see. I do want to say this one more quick thing on Chase. There's so many people that are like, oh, he needs to sit a couple more weeks. And this is a small number of people, but it is comments. People are commenting. We aren't doctors. We don't know. None of us know. So this idea that, oh, he needs to sit a couple more weeks. No. If Ja'Marr Chase is healthy and can play, well, he should play. Just like I'd say the same thing about Joe Burrow. I would say the same thing about Jake Lisco doing Locked On Bengals. If you're healthy and good to go, then you should go. And I know those are totally different things, but I just want to toss that out there because I get playing safe, but I think they've done their due diligence and they've played it safe. And if he's healthy enough to play, he should play.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think there's any way that you risk a 22, like any player, but especially a 22-year-old, however old Ja'Marr Chase is, he's still 22, right?
Yeah, yep, he's a baby. He'll be 23 in March.
So you don't risk a 22-year-old for a week. No NFL team does that. No medical staff does that. If they have him out there, it's because it is safe for him to be out there. The other notes on the injury report, Joe Mixon with a concussion did not practice all week. He will not play against the Tennessee Titans. Zach Taylor said he would probably not travel with the team. Safe to say that he's out. The official injury report has ruled him out. Joe Bachi was also limited all week and is questionable. Dax Hill was limited full. He's questionable. I think he's probably going to play if he was full
attack
on Thursday, Friday. So we'll see how his role shapes up. Josh Tupo, finally, I think this is his first full practice since his injury. So that's potentially big news for this team. He's questionable to play. And Jay Tufele gets back from his illness and goes full on Friday as well. He's not on the injury report at all. So some good news on all those guys. And Chris Evans, not on the injury report. His status for Sunday, not in question either, which will matter with Joe Mixon not playing.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure. Dax Hill, we'll see, what his usage is. Josh Tupo, Zach kept it a little tighter to the vest. Wasn't willing to commit to him either when it comes to him playing on Sunday, but he's getting close. So if he doesn't play Sunday, maybe you get him back for the Chiefs. But certainly a shot for that to happen. What do you say we dive into some of these playoff implications and what Sunday could mean to the Bengals' future?
Yeah, one big key real quick I'm just going to throw out there before we go shift gears a little bit here. Danico Autry, we talked about this with Tyler, not going to play this week. But Christian Fulton looks like he's on a trajectory to have a pretty good chance at playing, so we'll keep an eye on that one as well. Ben Jones looks like he's going to get back for the concussion protocol for the Titans, so a few updates there on the Titans side of things. We might see Randy Bullock too.
We'll see. You had to poke the bear, making fun of him. You clipped it out, and now Randy Bullock is going to be. It was hilarious, but man, you better hope he's missing. You better
ready to hibernate ones. That bear, right? What do bears do before they hibernate? Anyway, let's get to those playoff implications for this game and some of the other matchup notes to continue our show coming up next.
But first, a word from Prize Picks because, well, Prize Picks is the way daily fantasy should be. Whether you played this on Thanksgiving, and I hope you did, we've been talking about Prize Picks a long time, or you're going to rely on this on Sunday, which you should absolutely do. This is what you do with Prize Picks. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they're going to score more or less than their projections. So let's say you want to go with Jamar and you say less, but you say T more or Samaje Perine more or Chris Evans less, or you get the point. And you can turn your money, whatever you end up wagering on that 2 to 5 player combo, into 10 times the amount that you had. So there's no competing against other people. It's you versus the projections, more or less. And it's not just NFL. It's college football. Big college football weekend, by the way. So you could get on the action there. College hoops, NBA, and so much more. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users receive a 100% bonus up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $100, you're going to get an extra $100 right now with promo code LOCKEDON in the Prize Picks app or at prizepicks.com. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON at prizepicks.com.
Big game. Mentioned this at the top of the show. Big game in terms of playoff odds. If you look at all the forecasters, the machines that simulate the rest of the season, and you look at what happens if the Bengals win this game, the Bengals lose this game, this may be the highest stakes game of the week. The Bengals win. Their current playoff odds coming into the week, according to 538's models, is 61%. 61% to make the playoffs right now. Their fate largely in their own hands, of course, but they play a lot of good teams, obviously. They beat the Tennessee Titans. That number, in a vacuum, not looking at results around the rest of the NFL, goes to 79%. That's a pretty big boost. That's plus 18% if they win. If they lose, they drop about 10, 11% to a coin flip, 50% to make the playoffs if they lose the game. So we've described this as a must-win game, right? And I think we're going to be talking about a lot of these games as must-win games. But if they win this week and they lose to Kansas City next week, well, let's just talk about this week. If they win this week, it gives them a little bit of a cushion so that maybe that Kansas City game isn't exactly a must-win game. It'd be really good if you won. But if you can't get this one, it's not that damaging to you. This week, though, according to these simulations anyway, and it's probably because they've priced in the Bengals' chance to beat Tennessee and Kansas City, winning this week is a big boost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's without even looking at the numbers, you think about it. And for the first time this year, if the Bengals can win in Nashville, you'd say, oh, well now there's a little margin for error. Because there hasn't been. 0-2. That's it. It went out the window. And at 6-4, there still isn't. But if you can get a win over Tennessee, New England lost, you could separate yourself a little bit in this wild card race. And you won't completely separate yourself, but you'd like to have a little cushion. And 7-4, you'd have that cushion. And they have a 3-game stretch if you look big picture. Titans, Chiefs, Browns. Take 2 of 3. Take 2 of 3 from those teams. And you feel pretty good about where you'd be at. You'd be 8-5. You'd have 2 wins, over AFC opponents, and you'd put yourself in a good spot going into that final stretch, final 4 weeks of the season. So we'll see if they can do that. But this is going to be a tough game, and it matters. It matters a lot, and not because of wild card in or anything. The Titans are going to win the AFC South. I think that goes without saying at this point. But it would go a long way towards the Bengals' playoff chances. So of which team needs this game more, I certainly think it's the Bengals.
Yeah, that is probably true. The Colts have an outside shot at making a run, like statistically speaking, but super unlikely. So it's hard to make the argument for Tennessee here in terms of like the importance of this game. Their playoff odds are not going to be all that damaged if they lose by comparison to the Bengals, who are scrapping because, as we mentioned, that 0-2 start took away a lot of the margin for error. And while they've made back some of that, obviously to get to 6-4, they're 6-2 in their last eight. You know, if they're 8-0 in their last eight, then you've made back all of that. And they didn't make back all of that margin for error that they lost. This is a pretty solid Tennessee Titans team too. And on paper, you know, you might think, oh, they lost AJ Brown. Ryan Tannehill's not having as good of a year. Their offensive line, you know, probably has more questions this year than last year. They've got the rookie in Treylon Burks. And their offense, the post-Arthur Smith offense, still is taking some time to come together. But as we discussed with Tyler, this defense, despite some of the results they've had this year, still a really good unit. And I know that Denico Autry isn't going to be there and Harold Landry isn't going to be there, but Jeff Simmons, you listen to Brian Callahan, still one of the best players in the NFL, and is going to be a significant test for the interior of the Bengals offensive line. And we've talked about that. We talked about it in the crossover. Tyre Tart, a name that you don't hear as frequently, has been a good pass rusher alongside Jeff Simmons on the interior of that Tennessee defensive line this week. So where last week we talked a lot about the edge guys, Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt especially, this week it's all eyes on the interior. Yeah, Bud Dupree's there. I don't care about Bud Dupree. You can ask me all the way going back to when he was drafted. I didn't like Bud Dupree. He had one good year for the Steelers, played it into a big contract. Good for him. Not as worried about Bud Dupree as I am about this interior. And when you talk about how the Bengals are going to win this game, James, as we talked about before we started recording, it seems like, and obviously any given Sunday, this could go a different way. It seems like a relatively simple answer. It's take care of the ball, win the turnover battle if you can, but take care of the ball especially. Take care of Joe Burrow. Let him do his thing. Let him execute the offense the way we saw last week. Even if there's some pressure, don't get him sped up. Don't let him get sped up early in the game, because if he's not, he's going to process at a high level, get the ball out on time, and the offense is going to continue to be efficient. And then contain Derrick Henry, right? Mm-hmm. If you can, get those swing plays, get those takeaways from Ryan Tannehill. I know you're big on Jesse Bates, Ryan Tannehill, that matchup, and rightfully
because
so.
Because Bates dominated it, right?
Yeah, rightfully so.
And get your money, Bates. This is your time.
I'm not saying that you're like off base there or anything. But to both of us, I think it's like, this is a path. This is what you can do to win the game. You make the Titans pass at some point, like you get out to a big lead, that's even better. That might be a little bit harder to do this week, but you know, DJ Reader, Jesse Bates, offensive line, take care of the ball.
Right? Yeah. No, I mean, man, how good can this offense be if they hum the way they were humming last week?
Four out of the last five.
But also have Jamar, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, but they won in different ways. Like Jamar carries them against New Orleans late and kind of changes things there. The Falcons, they just go crazy on them passing wise. Then they have mm-hmm. The mix and breakout game against Carolina. It's been different. And this week, I think it's very similar to last, where you don't let that front. Jeffrey Simmons is scary, no doubt. Don't let them wreck it. And just have nine sit back there, make plays. Oh, one's playing 42 snaps. All right, we could still get him six targets. 85, shown he's a number one receiver. Tyler Boyd, Hayden Hurst, Samaje Perine, clearly capable of making plays in the passing game. Mm-hmm. So that's I think, their path on offense. And then defense, you're right, it starts, it ends, it's the middle. All things Derrick Henry. If you slow him down, I don't think you're going to stop him, but if you slow him down, it goes a long way towards maybe a Ryan Tannehill to Jesse Bates connection, which, you know, I'm not going to lie, I hope to see a few of those. I hope Bates gets his money. I hope I get to say B-A-T-E-S and make that S a money sign with three more money signs after Sunday because he has four picks.
Never know. Yeah, and the way you do that is to make the Tennessee Titans drop back pass. Or to just be Jesse Bates and feel like you know the playbook, know the tendencies, get those film study picks like we saw in the playoffs, really. I mean, that's where we saw it last. I like T. Higgins in this game. Christian Fulton plays. Roger McCreary plays. I like T. Higgins in this game. I'm a fan of T. Higgins in this game from a matchup perspective, especially if Jamar is on any kind of snap count. That could be a fun one. Good safeties for Tennessee, though. Amani Hooker going to play in this game. And Kevin Byard is back to playing at a high level. So Couple good safeties in this game. Some questions at corner, I think. Some guys that are able to make plays, but I like the Bengals wide receivers against these corners. So it comes down to the offensive line for the offense. They've been a good screen game for the last 2 weeks. Good screen game team. Can that continue? That'll be interesting to see because that can help deal with the pass rush a little bit too. James, let's get to your prediction. Tough opponent for the Bengals. One of the toughest they faced this year. We'll talk about the way you see this going to finish up the show coming up next.
But first, a word from Simply Safe, because if you've ever thought about securing your home with home security and been putting it off, now's the time to get number one rated Simply Safe. Their home security system is 50% off right now. It's their biggest offer of the year. So don't delay, don't wait. And no, we're not talking about just a couple of door sensors. We're talking about 24/7 professional monitoring where door sensors, window sensors, you're going to have cameras inside, outside. You can find a plan for you. And in an emergency, they have 24/7 professional monitoring agents that use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe. And what that does is it captures critical evidence and can verify that a threat is real, which gets help to you faster. So don't delay. Go to Simply Safe today and don't miss the chance to save big on the only security system I recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL today. That, again, is their biggest discount of the year. So go there now. simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
All right. Prediction time, James. You've got the official Tennessee injury report, by the way. Denico Autry is out. Everybody else we've talked about is officially questionable, which includes Jeffrey Simmons, but don't get your hopes up. He's going to play.
Yeah.
How do you see this game going, James?
Man, Randy Bullock is questionable, man. He is? I just, if he cold takes you, I swear, I, whoo.
What do you mean if he cold takes me?
Oh, my goodness.
He has made kicks. I mean, Tyler
kicks
was
the
right
game winner.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen. I don't think that's a cold take.
What if they win 21-20?
If he starts hitting like 55 yards,
seven
field goals. If he hits anything from 50 plus, then okay. It's a cold take.
Okay. Game winner from 53. I mean, I'm just okay. There you go. I'm just
sure
throwing out the scenarios.
It could happen. I mean, kickers are not like. It's something that are super easy to predict, but Randy Bullock's track record is what it is.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, let's dive into this.
Also, prediction. That wasn't just me, to be fair.
I laughed at the nickname because it's laughable.
Yeah.
I also want you to receive the blame, though, for the jinx because you clipped it out and posted it on social.
Because it was funny.
I'm not saying you were wrong. I'm just saying that's what happened. All right, let's get into this. The reason I keep harping on the kickers because I think it's going to be a field goal game. I think this is going to be a tight game. And I got to be honest, a week ago, I probably was leaning Tennessee. But I watched Tennessee against Green Bay, and I thought Aaron Rodgers was awful. I think when you look at who the Titans have beat, even though it's 7 of 8, it's not like they've went through a murderer's row. This Bengals team is battle-tested to a higher degree, I would say. They just won on the road against a lesser talented team, but they just won on the road and they have the better quarterback. And it comes down to that for me is, can the Bengals keep Burrow upright enough to squeeze out a win and eke out a win? And I think the answer is yes. So I probably would have said 23-20 Titans a week ago, but today making my official prediction, 23-20 Bengals, Evan, Money Mac, McPherson just keeps on kicking, baby. Makes a couple of field goals. What, 23-20 would be 3 field goals this week, including the go-ahead one in the fourth quarter that gives them the win. So it's going to be a tight one. It's going to be a nail biter. It's going to be one of those that Bengals fans are stressed about throughout, but I do think the Bengals find a way to get it done.
Or DJ Reader's going to do what DJ Reader sometimes does to Derrick Henry, and Joe Burrow's going to stay on fire. That's the alternative reality that could happen. Randy Bullock, by the way, has attempted 1 field goal from 50 plus yards in the last season and a half with the Tennessee Titans. Just saying. So that would be shocking. It would be shocking. It would be surprising if that's what it comes down to. I think that Tennessee also, you mentioned they haven't faced a murderer's row. You could say the same for the Bengals. The best team they've played this year. The best teams they've played this year are the Cowboys, the Dolphins, and the Ravens. The Cowboys didn't have their quarterback in that game. The Bengals lost. The Dolphins lost their quarterback early in that game. The Bengals won pretty comfortably from that point on. And they lost to the Ravens by a couple of points. Again, they probably could have won. They certainly had opportunities. The Patrick Queen interception stands out. After the offense started moving, the Patrick Queen interception really stands out. The goal line failure in the red zone there stands out as opportunities to win that game. But the Titans don't have those quite the same injury issues. They have their quarterback. They have their running back. They don't have Danico Autry. They don't have Harold Landry, but they have a lot of their guys. And so while the Bengals' schedule certainly gets much harder here down the stretch, Tennessee is just the first one of those more challenging opponents. You talk about the Titans don't have necessarily a quality win on their schedule. You could say similar things about the Bengals, I think. And so this would be a pretty nice win for them. And Joe Burrow 2-0 against the Titans in his career now, looking to make it 3-0.
And so in the Cowboys at the time, it didn't seem the Jets win is they still have a winning record. So that win looks much better. It does. You can laugh at Zach Wilson all you want. And then
I'm laughing at Joe Flacco,
but
he was awful. That was one of the worst quarterback games I've ever seen. And that's with some of the other Zach Wilson performances they've had this year.
But that Cowboys, I mean, the Cowboys are pretty good, you know,
really good team. Bengals lost without Dak.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe Cooper Rush isn't that bad. He was good in that game.
He was fine.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, the Titans would take that exact performance from Ryan Tannehill on Sunday right now that Cooper Rush had week 2. They would take it right now.
Would they?
Yes. 100% yes. He didn't turn the ball over. Did he? Maybe he had 8 turnovers?
No. It was just not very efficient. I don't know.
They got out to an early lead. They were able to.
Yes. They got 14 first quarter points, and then they scored 6 points the rest of the way. I don't.
20?
They don't have – I mean, they have Jeff Simmons, but they don't have a Micah Parsons. I mean, that was Micah Parsons took over that game.
For sure. They couldn't block him. I mean, but that's it. If the Bengals do that, this is going to be, even if Tannehill's balling, it should be a close game. If the Bengals can keep Burrow upright.
Yeah. Well, if they keep him upright, I don't see, like, this offense is clicking on all cylinders right now. Outside of the Browns game where they didn't keep him upright, Myles Garrett was a terror. They're clicking. Yeah. They could have easily scored like 45, 50 points against the Steelers. Like if they don't get those tip passes, right? And so that all comes down to, you know, protection and continuing to do kind of what they've been doing in the passing game, I think.
We'll see. I also think insert a piece like Jamar. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that doesn't, not that it hurts them, of course, but you just don't want it to disrupt flow.
I can't imagine that it would.
I don't think so, but I also remember a lot of people saying that without Jamar, they'd be fine against a team like Cleveland. And it was, you know, it's just one of those things where
that game, I'll never understand the Bengals-Browns matchups right now. The Browns can't defend the run against anybody, and then the Bengals can't run against them. It doesn't make sense. It's like Baker. Baker's awful against everybody, but then shows up for the Browns against the Bengals. It's just one of those things.
So, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, I'm taking the Bengals by a field goal. And, by the way, last week it was a two score. I picked 2 scores, 9 points, and it was close to that. It should have been 2 scores. They gave up the garbage time tutty. But
yeah, it was realistically a 2-score game. Anyway, that's going to do it for this Friday midday episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Hope you have enjoyed a Thanksgiving holiday in your own way, whatever way that is, and hope you enjoy the week 12 matchup. We'll be back after the Bengals play the Titans. It's a 1:00 start on Sunday with your post game takeaways right here on Locked On Bengals. Until then, Bengals fans, thanks for listening. Hoo day, and have a good one.